So last week's message was about spiritual warfare. We as believers need to realize that we are all involved in a spiritual war. An invisible and spiritual war can sometimes be more real than physical wars around us. And today I want to talk about the unshakable foundation in our lives as believers, about the source of our strength in our lives. That foundation gives us stability, faith, hope, strength to continue our journey with the Lord. When we are going through a difficult time, a time of suffering, or a time of war, it is easy to see our own weaknesses or weaknesses of other people. And it is easy to judge ourselves or the people around us. But I want to share the great news with you, news of freedom from condemnation and self-judgment. The simple truth is, you are not alone in your life. The Lord is with you. And truth is that your righteousness is not based on your own strong parts of your character or your own victories. Let us remember, I would like to read Proverbs chapter 21, verse 31. Proverbs 21:31. It is a great place of scripture for us. A horse is prepared for the day of battle, but victory comes from Adonai. Let us remember this. We can prepare. We need to be prepared. We need to fight. We need to pray. We need to do everything from our side. But remember, victory comes from Adonai. Let us remember, all victory belongs to the Lord. It is His. All glory to Him. All honor to Him. He is the Lord. We can do our part. And we can humbly ask Him to do His part. Because victory belongs to Him. Today I want to talk about God's love. This is a foundation for us. And His covenant with us. To understand how the Lord looks at us, I want to read from today's Haftorah portion. Let us open Isaiah, book of Isaiah, chapter 54, verse 1. Isaiah 54, verse 1. Seeing barren one, who has not given birth, burst into singing and shout, you who have not travailed. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married one, says Adonai. Enlarge the place of your tent, strengthen out your tabernacle curtains. Do not hold back, lengthen your cords, strengthen your stakes. For you will spread out to the right hand and to the left. Your offspring will possess the nations and will resettle the desolate cities. Verse 4. Fear not, for you will not be ashamed. No cringe, for you will not be disgraced. For you will forget the shame of your youth, and you will remember the reproach of your widowhood no more. For your maker is your husband. Adonai Tzevaot is his name. The Holy One of Israel is your Redeemer. He will be called God of all the earth. And verse 6. For Adonai has called you back like a wife deserted and grieved in spirit. Like a wife of one's youth that is rejected, says your God. For a brief moment I deserted you, but I will regather you with great compassion. In a surge of anger, I hid my face from you a moment, but with everlasting kindness, I will have compassion on you, says Adonai, your Redeemer. For this is like the waters of Noah for me, for as I swore, that the waters of Noah should no more cover the earth, So I have sworn that I will not be angry with you, nor will I rebuke you. And specifically verse 10. Though the mountains depart and the hills be shaken, my love will not depart from you, nor will my covenant of peace be shaken, says Adonai, who has compassion on you. Once again, my love will not depart from you, nor will my covenant of peace be shaken. Covenant of Shalom. Says Adonai, who has compassion on you. His heart full of compassion towards you. He loves you so much. What a wonderful picture here. We can see in this place of the scripture that despite all the problems and rebel and unfaithfulness of the people of Israel, you know, they were rebel, sinful, and had many problems in their midst. But despite of all of these, the Lord looks at them from the heart full of love and compassion and faith. There is no judgment from the Lord, nor condemnation. In fact, sometimes it is difficult to understand why the Lord blesses Israel in spite of such disobedience, in spite of rebellion, in spite of imperfection of Israelites. It would seem that there is nothing to bless for. It is necessary to discipline them. But I want to show you the answer in the promise of God to Abraham. Let us read Genesis chapter 12, verse 2 and verse 3. This is the answer for us. Why the Lord is faithful to us. Genesis 12, verse 2 and 3. And again, everything starts with God's heart, Lord's heart. My heart's desire, again, my heart's desire, the Lord desires that. It is in His heart. My heart's desire is to make you into a great nation, to bless you. Again, He wants to bless Abraham. It is His heart's desire. To make your name great so that you may be a blessing, so that Abraham may be a blessing to other people, to all the nations of the earth. This is the heart of the Lord. He wants to be a blessing of Abraham so that Abraham could be a blessing still to others. Verse 3, my desire is to bless those who bless you, but whoever curses you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. The reason why the Lord sees Israel beautiful and blessed is not because people have become perfect and without sin, completely changed and become worthy of blessing. No, this is not the reason. The reason because the Lord made His covenant with Abraham and with all His descendants. He wants it. It is in His heart. It is His decision. He is the Lord. And so when the Lord looks at Israel, He sees His covenant and His promise. How wonderful it is to realize that you are in the covenant with the Lord, in His covenant. And what is even more amazing is how the covenant with Abraham was made. So let's remember how the Lord made a covenant with Abraham. And this will help us to realize the attitude of our Lord towards us, towards His people. So let us open Genesis chapter 15 and read a few verses here. Genesis 15 verse 9 through verse 12. So this is the moment of covenant, when the Lord cut His covenant with Abraham. Let us read from verse 9. Then the Lord said to him, to Abraham, bring me a 3-year-old young cow, a 3-year-old goat, a 3-year-old ram, a dove, and a young bird. So Abraham brought all these to him, to the Lord, and cut them in half, and put each piece opposite the other, but he did not cut the birds. 11. Then birds of prey came down upon the carcasses, but Abraham drove them away. When the sun was about to set, And a deep sleep fell on Abram. Behold, terror of great darkness was falling upon him. And remember that place of scripture we read earlier today. A horse is prepared for the day of battle, but victory comes from Adonai. So Abraham prepared everything. He prepared everything. He was faithful from his part. But what happened next? It says here, verse 12, and a deep sleep fell on Abram. And verse 17, so Abram was asleep. He was not aware what's going on. And verse 17, when the sun set and it became dark, behold, there was a smoking over and a fiery torch that passed between these pieces. On that day, Adonai cut a covenant with Abram, saying, I give this land to your seed, from the river of Egypt to the greater river, the Euphrates River. It is very interesting when we talk about the covenant of Abraham with God. In fact, it is the covenant of God with Abraham. Why? Because we can read in verse 17, 18, when the Lord made the covenant, Abraham slept. Therefore, it turns out that the Lord made his own covenant with himself and brought Abraham into his own covenant. He invited Abraham into his covenant. Why it is so important to understand? Because all of us, and even Abraham, are sinful and therefore are not able to fulfill and preserve everything exactly. We are prone to mistakes and transgressions because we are human beings. And if Abraham had made the covenant and broke it, then the covenant would have lost its validity. Therefore, the sinless Lord himself, knowing the insecurity of Abraham and his descendants, he cut the covenant with himself and invited Abraham into this covenant. Can you imagine what kind of freedom this is? What a blessing for us. Despite all the imperfections of the Jewish people, the Lord looked at them with love through his perfect covenant the Lord made with Abraham. So let us read Jeremiah, chapter 31, verse 31. This is about another covenant. I can tell you truth. I can tell you one secret. Do not tell anyone. You and I are imperfect and sinful. And therefore, Yeshua cut with us the new covenant promised through the prophet Jeremiah. And let us read Jeremiah 31 and start it with verse 30. Behold, days are coming. It is declaration of Adonai. When I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not like the covenant I made with their fathers in the day I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, for they broke my covenant. Though I was a husband to them, it is a declaration of Adonai. But this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after those days. It is a declaration of Adonai. I will put my Torah within them. Yes, I will write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will each teach his neighbor or each his brother, saying, Know Adonai, for they will all know me from the least of them. It's very interesting, from the least of them to the greatest. It is a declaration of Adonai. For I will forgive their iniquity, their sin I will remember no more. How strong it is. I would like to mention a few verses here. First of all, verse 31, they broke my covenant. It was the covenant with Moses. They broke my covenant, not the Lord. The Lord was faithful to them. But we broke that covenant. But verse 32, the Lord promised to us, I will cut with the house of Israel. He's saying, I will do this. Verse 32, I will put my Torah. Verse 33, I will forgive their iniquity. And next one, their sin I will remember no more. It is the Lord who is forgiving us, who is merciful, who is full of mercy. When I read in Jeremiah 31, I remember day of Pentecost or day of Shavuot in Jerusalem, when the Holy Spirit descended on the first Messianic community and the living Torah, the Holy Spirit filled their hearts. The Lord is cutting his wonderful covenant with us. I want to read one very important place from the New Testament, Brit HaChadashah. This was the last moments when Yeshua was with his disciples on this earth. Let us read Matthew chapter 26. It is a very important place of scripture. Matthew 26 started with verse 36. Matthew 26, 36. Then Yeshua comes with them to a place called Gethsemane. And he tells the disciples, sit here while I go over there and pray. And he took along Peter and Zebedee's two sons. And he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he tells them, my soul is deeply grieved, even to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. Going a little farther, he fell face down and prayed, saying, my Father, Abba, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet, not as I will, but as your will. Verse 40. Then he comes to the disciples and finds them sleeping. And he tells Peter, so couldn't you keep watch with me for 1 hour? Keep watching and praying so that you won't enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Again, for a second time, he went away and prayed, saying, my Father, if this cannot pass away unless I drink it, let your will be done. And again, he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. Verse 44. So he left them again and prayed a third time, saying the same words once more. Then he comes to the disciples and says to them, still sleeping, taking your rest. Look, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is being delivered into the hands of sinners. Get up, let's go. Look, my betrayer is near. When I read this, how it reminds me of God's covenant with Abraham. Remember that Abraham was asleep. Why? Because the Lord did not want the participation of Abraham, the participation of a sinful person in the conclusion of the eternal covenant. Likewise, during the conclusion of the New Testament, Yeshua prayed. He paid the price. He was in the strong internal struggle, and the disciples, they were asleep. Why? Because they could not take part in the covenant. This covenant, new covenant, was concluded by the Father with his Son Yeshua. This covenant is without sin and therefore cannot be destroyed. Eternal, because the Lord is eternal. When Yeshua died at the cross, Heavenly Father, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, accepted the sacrifice of his Son and introduced us into his covenant. Remember Yeshua's last words. It is John chapter 19, verse 30. When Yeshua tested for the sour wine, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. This word finished in Greek means completed, paid in full, accomplished. And now, when we voluntarily accept the covenant with the Lord through Yeshua, The Lord sees us as a part of His covenant. The Lord sees Yeshua, who covered us, paid for our sins, took punishment and death in our place. And therefore, the Lord is faithful to us when we are in His Son Yeshua, when we follow Him and trust all our lives to Him, when we enter the New Testament and remain faithful. And truth is, even if we stumble and sin, He sees us like parents, like loving and kind father, who are going through rough time with a difficult child, but He loves His child, works with him, and believe in His bright future. We believe in the Lord. We trust in Him. And you know what? He trusts us. He loves us and thinks the best about us. So today, if you're battling with sin and some problems in your life, if you are making mistakes and afraid that the Lord has turned from you, please remember this prophecy from Isaiah chapter 54, verse 11. Remember this place of scripture. And verse 10, specifically verse 10. Isaiah 54:10. Though the mountains depart and the hills be shaken, my love will not depart from you, nor will my covenant of peace be shaken, says Adonai, who has compassion on you. You are beautiful in the eyes of the Lord. You are so special and so loved. Please allow this truth fill your heart with love, and you will experience new freedom and new strength in God. I would like to read 1 John chapter 1, verse 7 through verse 10. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7 through verse 10. This is truth. We need to remember this truth. 1 John 1, 7. But if we walk in the light as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of His Son Yeshua purifies us from all sin. Let us say together, all sin. There is no sin that the Lord can't purify. He is Almighty. And in His covenant, we have forgiveness of our sins. If we say we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Again, purify us from all unrighteousness, not part, but all. Please remember, you are accepted by the Lord, completely accepted. If we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. Which means that everyone is sinned, but the Lord is loving Lord. He is Almighty, and He sees us through His covenant with His Son, through His eternal covenant. Please, do not leave the new covenant. Do not leave Yeshua. Follow Him. And if something goes wrong in your life, please don't be quick to condemn yourself. Don't be quick to judge yourself. Please remember 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Ruach Adonai is, there's freedom. There's freedom. Thank you for your attention. In the end, I want to remind you that if Beth Israel is a blessing to you, please consider being a blessing to Beth Israel. We will close with Aaron's blessing, as we normally do at Beth Israel, and we'll return to Eric's home for a final song. So let us pray together. Yevrechecha Adonai v'ishmerecha, Yair Adonai panavelecha v'chunecha, Yisa Adonai panavelecha v'yasem lecha shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May His face shine upon you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His peace. Shabbat shalom, mishpacha.